Welcome to the Chirpin' Birds podcast. The Eagles come out of the bye and fly to Kansas City for the Super Bowl 57 rematch against the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll preview the game. We did our post-game Cowboys pod last week during the break, so this is a full preview pod of the Super Bowl rematch. Andy Reid coming out of the bye, Nick Sirianni coming out of the bye. It's a battle of the league's top two teams, a heavyweight matchup. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice, coming off a nice break. The bye, I felt it was a nice, nice little respite. Got to watch a lot of, I think the games were decent last week. I think a few of them turned into flops. But overall, a nice little break. I wouldn't say things broke the Eagles' way.
Quite the opposite.
This week, so not saying they lost, but they certainly didn't win the bye.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners handled Jacksonville pretty easily. The more unfortunate, I mean, the Niners weren't going to keep losing. At least I didn't think they were. The Jags are a good team, so you'd think it would have been a closer game there. But I think the real disappointing game was the Chargers-Lions game. Chargers had ample opportunity to win that game. That would have brought a little heat off of the Eagles and the NFC, playoff picture. I'm not necessarily scared of playing the Lions, but the Lions have an incredibly easy schedule and they very well could go like 13-4 or 14-3. So that's the tough part of the one seed. Looking ahead for the Eagles, like the Bills had a pretty horrible effort at home against the Broncos. So that makes the gauntlet look not as, any consolation of the upcoming schedule for the Eagles, that makes that game look less intimidating by whatever, gradation you decide to, give it. But it definitely makes this these next three games look a little less intimidating. I think this is an interesting matchup. And the Cowboys Giants game, that Giants was kind of expected, so that didn't really phase me much at all. I don't think that it's much to change your mind or change anything about what you think of the Cowboys. They're obviously a very good team.
I mean, those games at the end of the season for the Eagles, the two against the Giants, like, I don't think they're going to be, games that you would be nervous of, but like they certainly became much less competitive.
Right.
Like Daniel Jones out for the year. My gut says Tommy DeVito, it won't be the quarterback by the time we get there. Like, I don't think they can do this week after week.
They could always sign Kaepernick.
I think they're going to be probably, if Tyrod is healthy and back by then, but there's also Matt Barkley. Like, I think they're at the point where, like, they're going to start looking around the practice squads.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, that's beneficial to the Eagles, but, like, The Giants are just uncompetitive at this point.
The one thing I'll say, I mean, this isn't about the Giants really, but that game, the Cowboys have totally demolished teams this year. The Eagles haven't really done that, especially compared to
last year. They haven't gone up against a pathetic team yet. Some of these Cowboys games, and I'm not saying that, the Cowboys, they go out and they rightfully so, dominate the team. But I don't think the Eagles have gone up against a team that helpless yet. And the Cowboys have a handful of games where, like, the game script just goes out the window. And, you know, they really do put their, you know, foot down once they get that lead. They kind of gas the lead. Like, they go hard, similar to, like, what the Dolphins did against the Broncos. Like, I don't know, what game or team do you think the Eagles could have, like, manhandled like that?
Yeah, I guess that's a good – there aren't so many horrible, horrible teams. I guess, what would you say, the Giants, the Cardinals, and the Bears are kind of fit that mold?
I wouldn't say that about the Cardinals, especially not with Kyler Murray.
Oh, right. Like,
The Cardinals, you know, they beat the Cowboys. Let's not forget.
That's true, but like, they were still, what, 1-8?
At
one point.
Point being is, like, they have a bad record, but
all right. Well,
they
how many
getting blown out? They're competitive.
Sure. So, and the Panthers, I guess you could say, are.
Yeah.
So yeah, the worst teams the Eagles played, I guess, Washington.
Yeah, in retrospect, the Patriots are really bad.
Yeah, the Patriots.
They also lost key defensive players.
Yeah,
since
that's true. Patriots, Commanders. I mean, they obviously lost the Jets, but the Jets are not.
Yeah, the Jets aren't getting blown out by anybody, really.
Yeah, the Jets have a good defense.
Yeah, their defense is really.
They're the you know, 500, just below 500 type teams that the Eagles have been playing. So that is a good point. The Eagles haven't played horrible, horrible teams, but they've played a lot of those middling, you know, NFL is a lot of parity teams. There's a lot of meh teams now that have good, you know, talent or good units or whatever. I mean, the Jets were in the Super Bowl conversation with Rodgers. So obviously you lose your quarterback, that's a big deal, but they still have the rest of the team around Zach Wilson. So most of the team is good enough to be in the Super Bowl conversation. So the Jets to some extent are, you know, not necessarily as bad as Washington. So yeah, I guess I would say Washington. Probably, yeah. Tampa. I mean, Tampa's probably in that group of Washington and.
Yeah, no, I think they're like you know,
Vikings.
They,
I mean,
they
the Vikings
find
are
themselves
a little better
in a wild card game, I think.
Sure. So you know, those bubble teams is who they haven't blown out really, but the Eagles also have not gotten blown out, which the Cowboys have. So hot. When you're hot, you're hot. You're cold for the Cowboys, it seems. But yeah, so around the league, Eagles still have a lot to play for. Obviously, it's only halfway through the year, but you know, coming out of the bye, guys, excuse me, are much more refreshed. Jalen wasn't wearing his knee brace today in practice. He seemed a bit more upbeat. Cam Jurgens was a full participant. So they're definitely getting some guys back, important pieces. And, you know, as unfortunate as Dallas Goedert's injury was, it did happen right before the bye week, which gives him an extra week to recover from it and hopefully miss less actual games. So.
Yeah,
sort of fortunate.
While we're on the Goddard topic, I do wonder if they just wait this injury out, because I know it was initially reported as a 4-week injury recovery. So if they decide to put him on IR in advance of this game,
and he might have to sit out one extra game,
the next Cowboys game,
right?
So if they keep him just with the team, not on IR for the next 3 weeks, presumably he would be out. But the bye week did open up that other potential avenue of just, you know, seeing how his recovery goes without IR. So we'll find out in the next 48 or 72 hours. But the Eagles did place N'Kobe Dean on injured reserve, reported.
He had surgery.
Oh, he had surgery. Okay, so that was initially reported as a Liz Frank injury, like a mid-foot sprain similar to Juergens, but apparently it was more significant. And, you know, if I didn't see that note about surgery, but that makes me wonder if he's done for the year.
Yeah, I mean...
That just reminds me, like, what is there a specific player that reminds you of Liz Frank? Because
Ben Simmons.
Yeah, famously.
Yeah.
Before he got to play a single game, he had the Liz Frank fracture. So that's where my mind goes. Hopefully it's not as severe for N'Kobe. That would be a bad beat for sure. I think silver lining is they weren't really relying on Dean as a starter anyway. I know that was the initial plan coming into the year, but Zach Cunningham has found a role as a starter. So has Nicholas Morrow in more of kind of a rotational aspect. So there were rumors that the Eagles were looking at Anthony Barr. So I think they've been, you know, they probably, the writing was on the wall about this injury. Now it's just official.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jeff McClain reported the surgery from N'Kobe's Instagram. So I didn't see the Instagram post, but I don't really know what to think. I think the biggest bummer of it is he'll sort of, you know, from this injury earlier in the year and now moving forward, it's yet another season he won't have snaps and experience and that development to, you know, become a every down linebacker. And the last two or three years, they sort of sign guys to 1 year deals and or they're develop guys that get bigger contracts elsewhere, like TJ Edwards. So not the best situation for the linebacker group moving forward, but we'll see. We'll see how his injury progresses. Maybe he'll make it back towards the end of the year.
I also wonder if this opens the door at all for Christian Ellis. He was a name that popped up during camp and preseason, and he looked pretty good in small samples. So if they don't think Nicholas Morrow is the full-time starter opposite Zach Cunningham, he's a guy that...
I think Morrow's been trusted so far.
I don't think he's been as reliable as Zach Cunningham, but...
Yeah.
We know that they don't value him too highly since he was cut going into their initial 53. So that kind of says something there. But yeah, that group's it was a mess coming in. It's, you know, it's an unfortunate injury, but
we'll it's also an organizational practice. All right. Let's get into the game. So the Eagles go on the road to Kansas City, Monday Night Football. A lot of quotes have come out from the Eagles side on, you know, Jordan Mailata saying how this is personal. Jason Kelce listing, you know, the Chiefs and the Seahawks are the only teams he hasn't beaten in his entire career. And he has a shot to do both this year. It didn't indicate if this, you know, was a farewell or this or that, but you know, the hints that have cropped up the last few years where he could have had his last hurrah, you know, that's adding fuel to that idea this season for sure. But he also preached making sure the team goes 1-0 each week, all that Jalen Hurts, you know, coach speak that the team, you know, rallies around. So Jalen seems healthier, no brace, lose Dallas Goedert, you know, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, the usual, they're all playing. And they'll have a defense that has a couple names on their D-line and on the back end, but doesn't necessarily jump off the page, but they have good numbers. So it's not going to be a, you know, walk in the park. It might end up having to be a shootout type game with the Eagles defense, but from the offensive Eagles offense perspective versus their defense, what are you confident or not confident about going into it?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess by the numbers, this Chiefs defense is a much improved unit from last year. And I think generally speaking, like the perception of the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid has always been like this is a super powered offense with like a bunch of B-listers and Travis Kelce and a defense that is, you know, just about fine. And this year the defense has taken a big step forward. According to DVOA, they're the third best defense in the league. And then going up against the Eagles offense, which is currently ranked seventh. So it's a nice matchup. And as far as like the players, you know, Chris Jones up front, their defensive tackle, one of the best in the league. You know, he's up there with like the Aaron Donald crew. So, but you know, the Eagles have gone up against star defensive tackles and they do a pretty good job of dampening whatever defensive tackle they're going up against with Jason Kelce, Dickerson, and you know, fingers crossed that all signs seem to point to this being a return for Cam Jurgens. He was a, believe he was full practice today. He's still on IR, so in my eyes, that's all but, you know, formal that he'll be activated going into Monday night's game. And then as another guy on their defensive line, George Karlaftis, he's another good pass rusher. He's young. So those two up front, they can cause some trouble. I still think that that's a pretty decent matchup up front. Like I don't think it's anything the Eagles can't handle. Now the Eagles are fortunate that the Chiefs primary linebacker Nick Bolin is on the IR for this game. For the past few years he's always been like near the top in the NFL as far as tackles. He famous for returning Jalen Hurts' puzzling fumble in the Super Bowl. So that is a bit of a good break for the Eagles. And then on the back end, Lajarius Sneed, he's a really good cornerback, I think. I don't know if he's going up against A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or if he'll travel, but I think that, like, he's a quality cornerback, but I also don't think he's a guy that will, like lock up necessarily either one. And then the other primary cornerback, Trent McDuffie, same draft class as George Karlaftis. Also a guy that there's a lot of Eagles draft buzz about. He's taken steps to become a quality cornerback. So it's a nice team defense. I wouldn't say that there's, you know, besides from Chris Jones, who's obviously a star, like I don't see, you know, another defensive star, but overall it's like a really good defense with a lot of quality players at each level. And without Nick Bolton, I do think that helps out the Eagles a little bit, but you know, DVOA says that they're the third best defense, so that kind of tells you a lot right there.
Yeah, it's the first game since the Well, it's certainly the first game this season, but it's very rare where the Eagles are playing against a team just as good, if not better, as them, because obviously there aren't that many teams that fit that description. So it's interesting. Like, what we normally do is pick apart a weak unit and speculate how the Eagles could exploit it, but there isn't too much to exploit on either side of the ball. And it's not a defense that has guys that scare me, but individually, but as a unit, obviously they play pretty well. They haven't given up more than 20 points all season. They gave up 20 as in their losses. They gave up 21 and 24, but every one of their wins, 20 or less. So that's sort of that magic number of whether defense played well or not. And the Eagles offense will have their hands full for sure, but as explosive as they are and can be, you know, they're DVOA seventh best offense in the league. Obviously they have one less game played, so sometimes those numbers fluctuate week to week. But you know, top 10 offense going against top 10 defense, and that's, you know,
how do you think the Eagles will backfill, you know, the Dallas Goedert component of the offense? What do you think they'll do to supplement his run blocking, what he adds in the running game? And also, like, where do you think those, I know his offensive production this year hasn't been as encouraging as prior years, and I don't think that's like any I don't think that's on him. I think there's just been certain games where he's found himself on the outside looking in, not because of any certain mistakes or them avoiding him, like in the offensive game plan. But like, obviously he's like the, you know, he's number three in that offense after AJ Brown and Devontae Smith as far as pass catchers. So what do you kind of foresee or hope the Eagles do without him?
Yeah, I saw Grant Calcaterra is out of concussion protocol, so, and they should have him back. Him and Jack Stoll, if they run two tight ends, can help with the supplement blocking if that's, you know, something they
think we see any Alberto.
I'm sure he'll dress, yeah. But I think the bigger concern on offense is the run game, and if they can get that going, I think the Goddard absence won't be felt as much. But you know, if they can't get it going, then it'll sort of be doubly felt. So getting Cam Jurgens back helps with the run game, and hopefully Swift and Gainwell can, or at least Swift can, recapture some of their early season magic.
The Rashad Penny game.
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't mind that, but I don't think he's good because they would have used him by now.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, you look at their last few games, Miami, I guess Mostert wasn't hurt, but their other running back was hurt. Denver doesn't really, they have Javonte Williams, I believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they have anyone else. You know, when they played the Chargers before that, I don't know if Austin Eckler was hurt then or not. He may have played. I don't remember exactly, the Denver, Minnesota. So they haven't played too many teams in the last few weeks with really good running backs. So I think the run game is going to kind of make or break how the Eagles fare in this, especially missing Goddard. But you know, they didn't really run the ball well in the Super Bowl, and they still scored a lot of points. So, you know, what do I know? It's some of these things. It's very hard to predict, but I'm more concerned with the run game and knowing how weak our defense can be at times playing against Mahomes. You know, the run game's going to need to eat up some clock and take some possessions away from the Chiefs. So that's my bigger concern as far as Goddard goes. Like, I like Jack Stoll. He's obviously not the receiver that or playmaker that Goddard is, but he could have a few, you know, nice catches and be a part of the offense in like a discount, you know, Goddard way. But that's I think the key to working around the Goddard absences is the run game, and in general, you know.
I agree. I think the, like, if we got to see what the running game stats were, like, I think that'd be a pretty good indicator on the outcome of this game, both in regards to, like, getting this offensive line and their run blocking. Like, they've kind of gotten away from the run game, and sometimes it's, like, the game script. Other times it's just, like, you don't have, you know, your starters. They've been without Cam Jurgens for, you know, a month and a half or somewhere in that ballpark. So I think his return will be the boost that they're looking for. And I agree about shortening the game, but also the amount of possessions, especially with Patrick Mahomes on the other side of the field there. So I do think that that will be a big key to the outcome of the game.
Yeah. Anything else on the defense?
No, not.
All right. Let's move on to the offense. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, best quarterback in the NFL by a lot of margins.
So many margins.
Many, many, many margins, but statistically has had a bit of a down year so far. Doesn't mean that you won't, you know, play well in a big Monday night game in a Super Bowl rematch, but that is to a lot of to a large extent the only name you really need to talk about in this game as far as offense. But for fun, let's talk about the entire Chiefs offense.
Not exactly true. He and Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I think most people would consider him to be best tight end in football. Those two have been just giving defenses headaches for so many years now. They have such a good connection, like when it is a scramble drill or a play falls apart, like those two always seem to find each other, make a big play out of nothing. So there's certainly been games where the Eagles have just been like put it in a locker by Travis Kelce, and hopefully it's not this game. I do wonder what the Eagles game plan will be for him, since he is the primary weapon as far as pass catchers go. What do you suspect, or what do you hope the Eagles to do?
Well, I didn't see the actual interview, but I know that Kevin Byard was interviewed on covering Travis Kelce. So I think safety help will be an element to covering him. I wouldn't leave the linebackers to, you know, fend for themselves. I think, you know, maybe you have safety play up a bit to, or, you know, that free safety, or, you know, whatever whatever iteration of that to help with the middle of the field, which has been a weakness in the Eagles defense, the biggest weakness in their defense this season. So I think that's probably the logical.
How about Bradbury?
Bradbury on Travis Kelce?
Slot Bradbury.
Yeah, I mean, Roby, I think, had a full practice, so he may be a factor as well. I don't know. I mean, Bradbury's had a not great year so far. Putting him in the slot would be putting him in a position where he's not as good as his usual position on the outside. But you know, maybe as he gets older and slows down, he might be better suited to the slot or you know, in this game. I think they should try different looks, which you know, Desai showed that he is willing to do that a bit with CeeDee Lamb in the last game and having Slay on him in certain situations and then following him and this and that. So I think they'll probably have to try a number of things throughout the game, and it'll be a real test for Desai making adjustments to contain him while also keeping Kadarius Toney and Valdez Scantling and their, you know, not flashy receiver group, but a receiver group that can definitely do some damage, especially if you're putting all your attention in Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I do think that there's an argument for Bradbury in the slot, just because earlier in the season, his slot assignments are like, you know, slot wide receivers. Obviously, Kelce is a very talented slot or, you know, guy who finds himself in the slot area. But I do think, like, stack-wise, he's not a guy that poses as much of, like, a shiftiness problem with Bradbury. So I do think those line up, or those two are probably a more appropriate matchup for Bradbury compared to your, like, average shifty guy. But, yeah, I also wonder if, you know, they try to give him a committed bracket, whether that is a safety or some sort of linebacker cornerback duo. I don't think there's a good solution. I am curious how many plans they have and how quickly they pivot from one to the other. Like, do we see a rotation of Ricks and Roby and Byard and Bradbury? Like, do we see, like, a shift or, like, a rotation throughout the game? Or is it kind of like they'll go down their checklist and see how far down and how desperate things get?
Yeah, I definitely think it'll probably be a
platoon.
Or a combination, not just one guy on them. Like, just looking at their size, James Bradbury 6'1", 209, Travis Kelce 6'5", 250. So almost 50 pounds heavier, 4 inches taller. So as far as the Eagles, you know, bend don't break, I don't think that that's a solve for this game, because Mahomes will happily just pick you apart down the field throughout the game. I don't know. It's tough to have Bradbury or an outside type corner on a big tight end. They haven't really played tight ends that have, you know, been guys you have to game plan for so far this year. I don't think there are as many tight ends like that in the league. So that is the big offensive matchup, at least one-on-one or whatever they're going to do. I think if they can contain him and you know, get some pressure on Mahomes, then they'll have a better day. But you know, their offensive line interior at least is really, really good. So Mahomes doesn't you know, take sacks or get hit that often. They did lose Orlando Brown and I think one other lineman. So their tackles I'm not as familiar with, but I don't think they're as good as the interior as well. So the D-line's going to have to get a lot of pressure on Mahomes and have him hopefully, you know, rely more on Kelsey or like a one receiver type guy and limit, you know, the options as best they can. Their receivers, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Justin Watson, Kadarius Toney, and Mecole Hardman, you know, don't jump off the page. They're not the most talented group, but with Patrick Mahomes under center, you know, they're elevated to that extent. And
one other name I think is worth mentioning is their rookie, Rashi Rice. I know he's kind of like, you know, setting aside Travis Kelce, he's kind of been the guy that's seen more and more targets as the season goes on. I think he's probably one of the more disruptive players on offense for them. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's more of like a downfield burner. He might see a few targets over the course of the game. He's, you know, it's not a one for one, but like he's their Quez Watkins type. He's a much bigger guy than Quez Watkins, but he's a burner, more of a field stretcher than a playmaker. Sky Moore, he's another young player. He's in his second year. He hasn't been the second year that he or the Chiefs were hoping for, but he's a guy who I think can make a play. Kadarius Toney, I don't even know what to think of at this point, but it really is kind of like these are young, inexperienced, and like potential splashy type guys who can make a play, but they're certainly not like dependable hands that you like. They don't have a, like, their wide receiver one is Travis Kelce, and if we're being honest, they don't have like a wide receiver too. And like, I think you could call like Rashi Rice like their closest thing to that as a wide receiver too. But it's kind of like we've seen this happen ever since they traded Tyreek Hill away. It's like, all right, we're paying Patrick Mahomes so much money, let's just get him guys who can catch a football and we'll let Andy Reid draw up the plays. And by the way, Travis Kelce is still really good. So it's how they got to the Super Bowl last year. Now, they did have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's certainly had his career taper off with the Patriots. But like, Mahomes kind of makes a lot with not a lot of support around him. So I wouldn't really take that as a, you know, he lifts these players up big time.
Right. And I think the most interesting part of the game is going to be if Isaiah Pacheco has a big game and if they decide to run the ball, because teams have mostly avoided running the ball against the Eagles because they've been so successful at stopping it. And also the Eagles, you know, middle and back half of the defense is...
It's kind of an obvious decision to,
right? So, if any team's gonna not flinch at being one dimensional and passing and being pass heavy, or you know, one heavy over the other, the Chiefs are not a team to, you know, it's kind of like in baseball, working to knock out the starting pitcher and get his pitch count up, and then the team just has a nasty bullpen anyway, so it doesn't really matter how long the starter goes. So it doesn't really make much of a difference, I think, how the offense or how the defense limit the Eagles defense limits the Chiefs and what they want to do, because they're going to stick around and they're going to, you know, figure out ways around whatever's not working. So it's truly a 60-minute endeavor that the Eagles will find themselves in. And, you know, they've never beaten Andy, which is, you know, tough, but this could be the first one. I think the Eagles match up, you know, well. They obviously had the best record in the league and have the, you know, arguably second best quarterback in the league. So it's two teams that are tops in the league in a lot of ways going against each other. So I don't know, that it's a weird feeling because you had the big Dallas week going into the bye, and that was like a lot of angst and a lot of you know, intensity. Then you have the bye, and then you have the Super Bowl rematch. That, I don't know, it feels like sort of a come down from the Super Bowl, just because, you know, say the Eagles win, they still obviously lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. There's no like head to head bragging rights of it all. It'll obviously determine the best team in the league for, you know, power ranking sake, for, you know, either the rest of the regular season or most of the rest of the regular season, I think. But what's your feeling like going into this? Because I haven't felt like resentful or bitter or angry, like they have to win this game or because it's the Chiefs and because of the Super Bowl. I've just felt that this is a tough spot, Monday Night Football on the road against the defending champs. And it's the beginning of this big gauntlet of a schedule run they have. And I sort of, you know, don't expect them to win every game upcoming. And it's a weird feeling to be in that mindset, given how good they've been and how most of the teams aren't as good as them and you expect to win. So going into this game, I just feel like it's a good measuring stick, but I don't feel any extra juice because it's, as far as like bragging rights go or whatever, because it's the Chiefs. Like if they lose the game, it sort of feels like, yeah, well, that makes sense. Hopefully they play well and I can be like optimistic. I don't want to be like, what happened? But if they win the game, it's a massive win as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's like a very, it's a very equal game, I think. Like they're, both teams stack up well against each other. Now, I do think there's some massive advantages leaning against the Eagles. The big one that I know everybody loves to talk about is like Andy Reid coming off the bye. Historically, would you like to guess what his record is over 31 years?
Yeah, I already saw it earlier today. It's like 27-4 or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. Now, Nick Sirianni doesn't have nearly as long of a tenure, but his record off a bye is also impressive. So, but also like Arrowhead, I think that's one of the few stadiums in the league that is like comparable to the Link as far as its impact on a visiting team, being loud, disrupting your offensive communication, but also what it can do for Chiefs and giving them that kind of like boost of energy and adrenaline. So, and I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I don't think anybody could possibly overstate what he does for this team. And like, I mean, you don't have to think that back that far. Like in the Super Bowl, that was such an even game, a very entertaining game, an unfortunate outcome. But these teams aren't that different. I know that there's some pieces that are swapped out, but like the main players are still here. both teams are relatively healthy. I know that, you know, the Eagles are down Goddard, they're down Maddox, but they have most of their starters. I think it's fair to say that the Chiefs, they're down Bolin. So most these teams aren't that different from the Super Bowl. So I don't think it's unfair to say that this is like pretty true to that rematch that people will keep on talking about. And I agree. I think after beating the Cowboys in such dramatic fashion where it felt like it was a loss with under a minute left, I think for better or worse, that makes me feel like we're already up one if we're looking at both these games.
Plus it's an AFC opponent. So as far as like seeding goes.
Now where that gets unfortunate is common opponents with the Lions, if it comes down to it. If we reach that tiebreaker, So overall, how I'm feeling, like, I'm not optimistic, but I'm not pessimistic. I feel like I'm pretty even, like,
yeah,
I'm not, like, I agree. It doesn't feel dire. I think that this is the toughest opponent. If we're just like talking pure talent, I think that 49ers game has the added pressure on it of, you know, the other contender, and, you know, after last year beating them in the playoffs, I do think that there's like reputational stuff on the line. Like there's a lot of bragging rights on that one. But I do think that this is the like tallest task. So I suppose that's adding some pressure for sure. But, you know, both teams coming off the bye, I feel like that's kind of strange. Like there is no added benefit really, because both teams have had multiple weeks to kind of prepare here. But yeah, overall, it's like, you know, this is the type of game that you cancel plans for.
Yeah,
like this is a big one for sure.
It's funny that with the schedule going into the year, obviously we didn't know about Aaron Rodgers, but between the Dolphins, Jets, and Cowboys. Going into the bye, you think, oh, one loss is pretty good. Like maybe they'd lose two, but 8-1 into the bye is pretty good. Maybe 7-2. So they're at the record that sort of was a optimistic best case scenario going into the Chiefs game. So the stakes are not the highest. I think it could snowball, you know, if they lose this game and then they have the Bills, Niners, and then you're thinking, oh, well, they have the Bills and then the Niners beyond that is the Bill. Are they going to overlook the Bills because they haven't been playing as well? And then you have the Niners game. So it is a big, not every game is a big game, but there are elements of doing the calculus if they don't pull this one out moving forward. But I don't know. It's a big game. And I think the unfortunate part of the anxiety or the juice going into it is it would be completely understandable if they play very well and lose, and you can't be too upset. Even though it's the Eagles and you want them to win every game, but you know, 8-2 going into the next few isn't going to be the worst, you know, situation to be in. And a lot of teams have had their ups and downs. I mean, you know, Joe Burrow's ruled out tonight against the Ravens now. So who knows what outcome that game will have, but there's plenty of teams that were really good last year, made it deep in the playoffs, and are having a tough time this year. So the Eagles have overcome the Super Bowl, you know, following a Super Bowl year. So a lot to be happy about either way. Of course, once kickoff happens, I won't feel this calm, cool, and collected about the team. But it has been interesting to not feel as much, you know, football rivalry entering this game. And maybe it's just because of the bye, and it'll hit me in the next day or two. But it definitely feels a lot different going into this game than into the Dallas game.
Do you think you'd feel differently if it was in Philly? I do feel, at least personally, I feel like,
wow, yeah, there's an element to like how, what's the crowd going to do? Could it have been a Kelly Green game? Yeah, there's an element to that.
Since you mentioned Kelly Green, I don't know if you saw this. This isn't like breaking news, but I think I saw it in like the past week or so. The Eagles filed trademarks for Kelly Green. Like the, not the usage of it, but like the words Kelly Green in the context of like professional sports, and also the brotherly shove, which I don't know if you know the origin story of that, but like that was like a Redditor,
yeah,
like organically coming up with that name, like on some like, you know, post on the Eagles subreddit. Like, I don't love that. It's like, okay, Eagles, like you're popular, you're cool, everybody loves you, like don't go trying to like reclaim it.
And then, didn't like, WWE trademark Out the Mud, and Paul Reed had to change it to Out the Mud or Out the Mud or something? It's probably a good business decision, but it is a little much, I guess. But as far as like intangibles, or not intangible, but extra stuff going on, do you make anything of the Swift and Kelsey parents meeting each other? Because that's like the big hype.
I didn't even hear about that.
So. Oh, apparently the Kelseys are going to meet the Swifts. And I don't know if Taylor's supposed to be there or not. I looked at the tour schedule, and she's in Brazil on the 19th, the Sunday, and then she doesn't have a show until the following Friday. So she, in theory, could do the show and then Monday morning fly from Brazil to Kansas City for the game that night, in theory.
I mean, I would have to see what the clock difference is on that. That feels like she is going to be like a zombie.
Well, I mean, she does three shows, two or three in a row.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like you have a string of tour dates in Brazil and you're going to fly.
Physically, like tired, you know, energy wise, maybe it doesn't make sense, but logistically it could make sense. And I saw a stat a while ago that the splits of Taylor being there and not being there and how well Travis Kelce plays. So he, you know, shocker, plays better when she's there statistically.
I think it's like fun conversation and all. I do think it gets overboard like so quickly. I do think, you know, it is the ultimate test of her fandom.
Right.
You know, like this new guy you started dating.
Well, her dad,
you supposedly like and root for.
Her dad in one of the Argentina shows was wearing a Chiefs lanyard. So even Taylor's dad has forsaken the Eagles already.
Wow. Let's just hope the Eagles are ready and have a game plan for Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I don't want to be seeing too many shots of Taylor Swift, because I feel like that'll be bad for the Eagles.
Sure. I mean, she's got to impress the future brother-in-law too, so pressure's on her as well. Let's get into predictions.
Let's. Quick on the injury report stuff. I know we already mentioned it, but Dallas Goedert, he's obviously going to be out for a few weeks. Evans, he was limited. I am curious if he's on IR currently, if they activate him. I think he's solid depth behind Byard and Blankenship. So, like, it'd be nice if he's available. Juergens, we're hoping for. Roby, ditto. And Calcaterra seems to be on the mend. So, I think the only one that's up in the air there is Justin Evans, and keeping an eye on if Dallas Goedert goes to IR. And as far as the Chiefs, you already mentioned Nick Bolton, he's on IR, but other than that, they're ready to go.
Great. I think you went first last time, so I'll hit it off. I think the Eagles will get off to a hot start, score 17 in the first half.
All right. That would be nice. All right, my first one. With the returning Juergens, the Eagles' run offense gets back on track. What that means is I'm hoping for a DeAndre Swift cracking 120 combined yards, so passing and receiving, or not passing, rushing and receiving. And I think he also gets a rushing touchdown. So kind of a bounce back game for the run offense and also for DeAndre Swift, because I think, like, I haven't noticed any like drop in his performance. It just seems like they kind of get away from that part of their game, and
Yeah, to me it
I've
seems a little more like play calling than Swift not playing as well, but
right.
probably
So
a combination.
I know we already talked about that, but like I do think that's a big part of a path to victory here, like the Eagles run game getting back to how it looked early in the year.
Yeah, you and I were in the on the same wavelength there. My second prediction is DeAndre Swift, 13 carries, 90 yards, not quite 100, and a touchdown.
Yeah,
So,
nice.
a good day for DeAndre Swift.
Jalen Hurts, two passing touchdowns of 30 yards or more. I know I mentioned Le'Veon Sneed and Trent McDuffie, quality cornerbacks. Eagles still have AJ Brown. They still have Devontae Smith. I think they both see an uptick in targets with Dallas Goedert out. And so I think between the concentration of them in the offense and also Jalen Hurts coming off a bye, I think he's probably feeling a little bit more fresh than he was against the Cowboys. And we've seen Jalen Hurts look more and more just really talented as a pocket passer. So I don't see that stopping here. I think he has a good day.
Who catches the big touchdowns?
Definitely, I'll split them. One for Brown, one for Smith.
All right, I like that. Similar to last game where I predicted a Jake Ferguson big day for from a random offensive player, I'm gonna have Travis Kelce score 0 touchdowns, but Kadarius Toney scoring 2 touchdowns.
All right. Didn't he have two in the Super Bowl between the
Probably.
punt return and
Oh, yeah.
like the
Well, that wasn't a
pre-snap
touchdown.
shift? I think I forget who it was. It might have been Moore and Tony, but I think that's unlikely, but that would be
Well, you got to keep a bold one in there.
yeah, no, I get it. All right, speaking of bold ones, my third one here. An offensive lineman reporting as eligible scores a touchdown. Now, the prediction applies for both teams, so I'm giving myself a little bit of padding there, but specifically, I'm calling for Cam Jurgens. Now, my thought process here, both these offensive-minded coaches are very creative coming off the bye, so I do think there's like some. Maybe some doodling there as they game plan, just seeing what kind of fun wrinkles they can roll out. But my other thought here was with Dallas Goedert out, and if the Eagles are in like near the goal line, they want to bring in some extra offensive linemen, say for a tush push, that maybe that this is a wrinkle. And as far as athletic linemen, maybe they trust Cam Jurgens as that guy on the outside who is nimble and can scoot around and catch a touchdown.
I like that. I was thinking that to win this game, I wonder if there are more creative trick plays or, you know, innovative plays, because it's not just any week where you may be more inclined to pull out a play like that than other weeks. My player of the game hasn't had a big game in a while. Let's give it to Devontae Smith. 10 catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, that'd be huge. I already talked about mine, and it's the other Swift. It's DeAndre. I think the run game is the key in this one. I think if the Eagles offense with the returning Juergens looks like it did earlier in the year, like, I don't see why Swift can't have a big day. I think the Chiefs can be run on. I think it, you know, it'll help stymie the amount of possessions in the game, which I think could be a nice plus for the Eagles if they can manage to shorten the game a little bit in that regard. So give me DeAndre.
All right. My final score prediction. I got the Eagles 23, which, if you remember, my first prediction was they'd score 17 in the first half. So they don't do as well in the second. So Eagles 23, Chiefs 27. I think it's a close game within a touchdown, but the Eagles will have to score that touchdown rather than kick a field goal.
Yeah. I think that's that, not to spoil, but I can see where you're coming from. I don't think we've mentioned this yet, but the Eagles currently are plus 2.5 points on the road. So ever so slightly favored. If we're on the neutral field, obviously we're not, and that's why the Chiefs are favored. I think I saw that the Chiefs were -3 yesterday, so it seems like there's a little bit of movement on that line. My prediction, Eagles 24, Chiefs 28. So we're very much on the same.
Both have a 4-point loss.
Yeah, just a point shifted. But yeah, I think it's a close one, and I certainly don't think that this is something that is, like, this could go the other way. I think it's just right now, I feel like the Chiefs have some crucial advantages. Overall, I think if we're just talking about, like, the size of the ball, like, it's a good matchup. It'll make for a fun game. I think the Eagles offense could, like, they could have one of those games where they just, they look like the better offense, and if their defense can hang in there, and if Sean Desai pulls enough tricks out of his sleeve, like, I could see this certainly going the other way. It's just Andy Reid off the bye in Kansas City, going up against probably the best quarterback that we'll see.
I feel like I'd be more confident going into this game if they hadn't played in the playoffs last year. Like, I feel like
the Super Bowl gives confidence to beating them. If, like, I think there's,
yeah, I got, yeah, I don't know. It's like the familiarity makes it feel like more volatile than when they played the Super Bowl year. It was week two, but it was kind of like, oh, they might have a shot or whatever. I don't know. I think it's also good that we both didn't have, you know, too wild of a point differential there. So, you know, that kind of loss, depending how they play, you know, seems like it would be something that you could walk away with a lot to build on. If it is indeed a loss. But I don't know that we've ever been on the same page with losses since before last year. So
yeah, no, it's a rare occurrence.
It is rare. So hopefully we're both proven incorrect. And we'll be back at some point with Thanksgiving next week. We'll have to, you know, plan that out, but we'll be back after the game, before the Buffalo game. So for now, for Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.